Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20. If you was to go down to my mother's graveside, you would find this verse etched in her tombstone. It has become my family's life verse. It has become my personal life's verse. I don't get to sign many Bibles, but when I do, I'll sign my name, and I'll put Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20. My dad does the same thing. It's etched in my mother's tombstone. This has become our family's life verse. And I want to share it with you tonight. For a long time, I didn't preach on it. It was always my life verse, but I'd never preached on it. And the Lord gave me a message several weeks back about my life verse, and I want to share it with you tonight and see if the Lord will help you out of this verse. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You may be seated. Of course, if you don't let me sign your Bible, I could do you like Willard Thomas done. Willard Thomas said, I was at a camp meeting, and he said, I was a young preacher and nobody was letting me sign their Bibles. They was going around me and getting all the other preachers. He says, so I just waited till they all went to lunch and left their Bible on the front bench, and I just went down through there signing all their Bibles. He said, my name is in a lot of them big preachers' Bibles because I done it sneakily. I want to draw out a phrase out of this life verse, shall be magnified. Christ, the idea of Christ being magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death, Christ is honored and Christ is magnified and Christ becomes the focal point of my whole life. Thought about that. Shall be magnified. Let me give it to you. This is what the word shall be magnified means. It means to make great. To enlarge, in a sense, to enlarge or to make great or to make bigger. And I thought to myself, Carl, how in the world are you going to make God bigger than He already is? And I said, this can't be right. I got to examining how we look at magnification, shall be magnified. This word magnified, there's two classes of magnification. One is where you take a microscope, and a microscope takes that which is small and makes it big. Well, that's how I was looking at this verse. I thought there was maybe some way Christ was real small and I had to make Him big in my life, but that's not the idea at all. It's like looking at Christ through a telescope. It's like looking at the moon with a telescope. The moon is as big as it's going to get. You're not going to make it any bigger. But it's the idea of the moon being bigger in your eyes. Being bigger in your life. Being bigger in your heart. And one preacher said it like this. If a little girl comes to him after being saved, 7 years old, and makes that statement, if Christ is so big and I'm so small and He lives in my heart, shouldn't He stick out somewhere? And although the preacher laughed, he said it arrested my heart and I realized that little baby told the truth. If Christ is as big as we say He is and we are as small as we think we are and He lives in our heart, there ought to be evidence somewhere. And He ought to stick out in our lives somewhere. Christ being magnified, the idea of Christ becoming bigger in my eyes and in my life and in my ways and in my church and in my Christianity. Christ being big in my life. You'd be surprised at the people that He's only big on Sunday. But He's my hope. He's my everything. He's my eating. He's my breathing. He's the very clothes that I've got on my back. And I owe it all to Him. And I want to magnify and honor Him tonight for what He's done in my life. He's been a good God to me. Christ being magnified. Brother Ken, I've been seeing, and I know now that you're traveling a little bit, you're noticing something. I'm noticing I don't want to call any names, but I'm noticing some evangelists maybe that we run with, and it seems like they're getting a lot of glory. Professionalism is creeping in and absolutely tearing our churches all to pieces. The idea of entertaining people and knowing how to hold your Bible and how to walk and how to talk and how to move and how to make people cry and how to make people laugh and how to get people to come to the altar and how to get people to shout and know exactly what button to push at the right time. We're living in that era of professionalism and entertainment and we've got evangelists that tote a Bible under their arm and they know exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And when you get a certain mode, they know what button to push to just tip you on over. We're living in that kind of era. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, I want my life to honor You. I want my very message that I preach behind this pulpit and pulpits across America to honor my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what He's done for me. And not only for what He's done, but for who He is. He's a good God. My message should magnify the Lord. My message. There was a guy given a job in an art museum. And his job was rather simple. All he had to do, he was a little hourly teenage boy, and all he had to do for 8 hours was just take a group of people to a piece of artwork and tell a little bit about it and then back away. While the people looked at it and oohed and awed over the picture. That's all he had to do. But it wasn't long. He got it in his mind that this thing might have been about him. Maybe they've come to see him instead of the art. And instead of backing away from the art, now he lingers near the art. Instead of just telling a little bit about it, now he wants to read a book about it. And now he's standing in front of the artwork, and the people can't see him anymore. They can't see the art anymore. All they see is him. And it wasn't long the big boss had to come out and said, "Hey, boy, this thing ain't about you." You need to back away from the artwork. These people come to see the artwork. And I begin to think about my own life and my own ministry and the people that I run with. My very message should center around Him. It should magnify Him. It should lift Him up. It should honor Him for who He is. The very work that the young man was sent to reveal, he now conceals. And I don't want that ever be said of me. The very work that I'm to reveal to you tonight, Christ Jesus and Him crucified, I don't ever want to conceal that with some kind of cliche or some kind of entertainment or a rabbit being pulled out of a hat. I want my message to honor the Lord. And you ought to also want your message to honor God and how good He's been in our lives. The very apostles was very quick to let us know who the important one was. They said, "The one that waters, he ain't so much important." They said, "The one that sows, he's not necessarily the important one. But I tell you who's important. It's God that gives the increase. He is the important one. And he needs to be the focal point tonight." We ought to see him. We ought to see him. And him crucified. I want the Lord to be seen in me. Christ being magnified in my body. I read this story, Max Licato, I think he's Church of God preacher, and Church of Christ preacher. Max Licato tells some wonderful stories. And old Max talked about them signs that people was putting on their bodies. He said there was a big storm come through. And he said it flooded that little town. He said the bridge washed out. And he said they didn't know what to do. It was a little town. They didn't have a lot of emergency things into place. And that bridge had washed out. He said people were literally plunging off into the river. He said they didn't know what to do. Hundreds of cars were plunging off into the river because no warning was there. And it would get dark and people would just plunge off into the river. And they said, we're going to make some sandwich signs. That's what we're going to do. And one guy said, I'll volunteer. And they put on a sign and hung it over their shoulder, sandwich signs on front and back. The guy said, my sign will say, reduce speed. Tell everybody, slow down. The next guy said, my sign will say, bridge out. And the last guy, he said, I'm going to stand pretty close to the bridge. And he said, I'm going to put on my sign, right turn only. It worked for a long time. People would see the first sign, they'd slow down. People would see the second sign and they knew why they had to slow down. The bridge was out. And then by the time they got to the bridge, right turn only. Here's the cuteness of the story. He said the first man, he got to thinking that he was real important. He said he got to thinking that maybe his job was really good. Maybe people were driving by just to see him. And he set his sign down, propped it on a tree, and just began to politic and wave at people that went by. And instead of seeing reduced speed, he was covering up the word speed, and all it said to the people that went by was reduce, and they thought it was just another advertisement for another diet plan. Got conceited. The second guy didn't get conceited. He got sleepy and began to slumber. And he fell asleep and his arm fell over the word out as he slept. And people just went by and all they seen was the word bridge. The other guy, he didn't get conceited nor sleepy. He had a problem with the message. He'd put his sign down, he'd look at it, and he'd say, right turn only. Who am I to tell anybody that they can only turn right? We're living in America. We make our own choices and our own decisions. So he struck that out, and he put right turn preferred. Then he struck that out and put right turn, two alternate decisions. They had a choice now. They could go straight or they could turn right. Didn't really matter anymore. What are you saying, Brother Carl? The story went on to say this. While one man slept, and while one man was conceited, and while one man had a problem with the message, one by one they began to plunge into the river again. And if we're not careful right here in the church house, we'll let ourselves become conceited and professionals and entertainers. And some of us will even slumber and sleep and forget what God has done for us. And some of us will even have problems with the message. And while we're arguing, and while we're conceding, and while we're sleeping, and while we're slumbering, they're plunging into hell by the droves. My message, all you leaders that stood here this morning, y'all's message should magnify Him. You know what I love about Liberty Baptist Church? You can walk in the door and you can smell Him. He's here. I went nosing. Well, one of your deacons let me nose. I went to nosing. I didn't know how many rooms in this place. Man, there's rooms over yonder. I didn't know there was a basement underneath all this. And I tithe. Why didn't y'all call me? I wanted to vote. God's been good to you. But whether he'd done this or not, he was here. Whether the choir gets to sing or not, he was here. Whether the Partain family was here or not, whether Brother Ken gets to preach or not, he was here, and he is here. And we ought to center everything around him. My message should magnify the Lord. I thought about this. My salvation should magnify him. What do you mean by that, Brother Carl? Well, Paul was having problems. You can read it when you get home, about Philippians chapter number 3. Paul was having problems with these guys saying this. I'm paraphrasing, but they were basically saying, I'll read it to you, King James, in a minute. Here's what, it was the Jesus plus problem. These guys were literally preaching, Jesus plus circumcision equaled salvation. They were preaching that. Paul was having a problem with this teaching that Jesus plus circumcision. And that's where Paul chimed in and said this, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What is it about our flesh that thinks we can add to such a perfect thing? What is it about our flesh that thinks we can add to such a flawless plan that God has created? Something so complete. What is it about us that thinks we can add? Betty Crocker tried it one time. Betty Crocker come out with a recipe. Ladies, you're going to like this. Men might even like it. She come out with a recipe. The only thing you had to do back when I was a boy was just add water to this mixture. That was it. Just add. See, they had baked it. They tried it. They brought some to homecomings. Add water. Stir it around a little bit. Throw that paste in a pan. And then whoop, you got a cake. Betty Crocker come up with it. Let me tell you what was bad about that recipe. It didn't sell. Plummeted. Them guys in New York got together. What are we going to do? We've got to do something to make our sales go up. You know what they done? They altered the recipe with one little thing. Add one egg. That's all they done. Add one egg. And did you know that skyrocketed? It's the number one selling cake mix on the market today because they told America to add an egg, and America thought as long as they was doing something, that they were really making a cake. What is it about us? It's in our flesh. It's in our nature that wants to put things and add things to Calvary's cross. You help me if I'm wrong, but I thought he said, it is finished. What in the world could we add to that? It's finished. Such a perfect plan. It's finished. Paul said, be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. It's all about Him. That's the way it ought to be. My salvation ought to... You know what? Matter of fact, that's where legalism actually stems from. This Jesus plus. Well, maybe when I get saved, you know, maybe I can add something to make me look better in the throne room. Maybe when I get saved, I can maybe live this way or do this or don't go there, or back away from here. And I'm not going to name things because I can make half of you mad. It's almost guaranteed that you would be mad. Maybe if I do this or do that, I can look better in God's eyes. No, actually, we all just stink in the nostrils of God. If it wasn't for the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have a hope in heaven. We wouldn't have a hope. Jesus plus nothing. He's all we need. He's all this church needs. He's all you leaders need is Jesus Christ. He's it. He's it. Legalism. It's not that legalists don't trust the Lord. They trust in Him a lot. They have to. It's just they won't trust in Him alone. That's their problem. This Jesus plus formula. Jesus this and adding something to it. You said, well, Brother Partain, if I believed that, I might would change. Maybe you've been looking at Christ through a microscope. And y'all go home, put your microscope up, and maybe look at Him through a telescope. Taking that which is already big and magnifying it in your eyes and making it bigger in your life. Boy, I'm not going to tell you who said it, but I heard an old preacher say this. And when you're young, you know, you hash all these things out. He said it and it floored me first. I thought, my goodness, I'm going to have to think about that. And I'm still trying to chew on it because it's bigger than me. And I'm not here to share anything with you that's false. But let me just give it to you and you can chew it out yourself. How about that? We'll ask the preacher what he thinks after church. Lord, don't embarrass me right now. Preacher got up there and he said these words. He said, Christ did not primarily die for you. And I thought, what'd he say, honey? Christ didn't die primarily. Die for me? It wasn't His first reason. Well, they told me in Sunday school, Christ died for me. They told me all my life, Christ died for me. And in general, He did. But that preacher had the gall to say that it wasn't His first intentions was to die for me. Here's what he said. Boy, and I'm still chewing on it. He said, Christ said, I've come to do the will of Him that sent me. And on another occasion, he said, I've come to do the will of my Father. Now, are we part of this beautiful, glorious, matchless plan? You better believe it. Was I engrafted? Was I incorporated into such a beautiful plan? Yes, I was. Am I a benefactor? You better believe I am. But Christ came to die for His daddy. Wow! Now you'll have to chew on that several mornings. Y'all have to go down to the huddle house and gossip about it for a long time. But it might just soak in one day. It might just soak in one day that this plan's much bigger than you think it. A beautiful relationship between a father and a son come together. And because it come together, we have hope at Liberty Baptist Church this day. Christ is the one should be magnified. Christ should be magnified in my salvation. I'll hurry up. Christ be magnified in my body. That's what it says in the Scripture. Now look, I don't want to be mean. It's been a long time since I've got to come back and preach. Just put your seatbelts. You can't get any meaner than old muley head down there. Shake that muley head right there. You drama teams. Huh? Ha ha. That's my preacher down there, buddy. So this ain't going to be bad. But I have to tell you this. Now for those that's full of pride, it's going to hurt you pretty deep. But this thing ain't about you. Well, they didn't call me about when they was going to add to that building. Well, my granddaddy put in that stained glass on that side and they've shifted it to the other side. They didn't ask me if I wanted to change the carpet. They've even put new light bulbs in. And who puts a Christmas tree in a church? This ain't about you. Now shake that muley head right there. Woo! We're having fun down at Liberty tonight, aren't we? I won't get to come back for a year. You watch and see what I'm telling. It's not whether I'm happy or not. This thing about coming to church ain't about your happiness. It's about His holiness. It's not about your pleasure. It's about Him being pleased and Christ being magnified. It's not about whether you're satisfied or not. Whether you're mad or glad or happy or sad. Or whether somebody got your pew or somebody stole your parking spot. Ain't about that. It's about Christ being magnified in my body. Well, to walk in here with that attitude every time we walk in these doors. It's not about me and you. It's not about anybody in this church. It's about Christ being focused on and centered around. We ought to put our minds around Him and put our arms around Him. Oh, Christ being magnified in my body. Satisfied and happy and glad. Not a matter of where you're noticed or honored or getting to speak your opinion. A woman come up to me when I pastored. I don't even want to call the name. I just point that direction. It's a political town. Roanoke's a political town. It ain't about who you know. It ain't about what you know. It's who you know. You can kill somebody over there, man. If you know the right person, you can get by with it. And I'm not kidding. You can do it. That's the truth. I was over there pastoring. Church was going good. And this woman come up to me. I knew we had problems right off the bat because she was the spokeswoman. The little man stood back there like, a little Oscar Mayer wiener, you know. And all the boys had that haircut, you know, where they had to do this all the time. Looked like they was having a seizure constantly. And Mama, here come Mama now. Brother Partain, now we are considering joining this church. She said, "What do you have to offer my boys?" And I know... what do you have to offer my boys, she said. And I know what she was wanting. She just wanted me to say something like, "Well, on Wednesday night we have Chuck E. Cheese come in. And on Sunday morning, you know, we have this and that." And she wanted me to entertain her. And I was young. I'm still young, but I was really young then. First church, kind of on the cocky side, you know. I said, "Ma'am, how about a big old road out of hell? Would that help your boys?" And she was just like, "Whoo!" And old Weenie was going, "But mamas and daddies, they don't want any big road out of hell. They don't want anything to do with God and with Jesus and with the Holy Ghost. They want a place to entertain themselves on the weekend. But I'm glad I'm a member of the church that centers around Christ Jesus. And He's the blessing, the fire out of you, because you put Him first and foremost. Christ being magnified in my body. Christ being lifted up in my body. Christ being the center point of my mind and of my life. My mama has lived and died believing this. My daddy has lived and will die believing this. I'm going to try my best to live it and die with it under my arms. Christ being magnified. I'm going to teach my babies that He's the reason we're here. I want them to know it. Christ being magnified. Not about us. It's not about us. It's about Him. I thought about this and I'll be done. And I want to say this on behalf of the church. I felt like the Lord had me preach this message for this very point. My message should magnify Him. My salvation should magnify Him. My body should magnify Him. But watch this, church. My success should magnify Him. My success. Oh, you could teach a little child that Liberty Baptist Church has been a successful church. I told one today, I said, there's other churches closing the doors. I seen Brother Marty Few this morning sitting over there. There's a church not far from here that he started when I was just a boy. For sale signs sticking in front yard. There's churches all across America for sale, for sale, for sale. Most churches that I'm in, here's what I get. Now, Brother Partain, we would like to do better, but it's all we're going to be able to do. Had one preacher tell me this. Oh, he had a church probably double this size. Well known. If I called his name, you'd know him. He said to me, Brother Partain, we was only able to give you X amount of dollars. He said, I'll just be honest with you. He said, it takes us a lot of money to operate. He named the figure, how much it takes him a month. He said, we got about $1,100 in the bank. He said, I don't know what we're going to do. But yet, over here, just out of Bowden, a little white church... that knelt down one day with about 12 people and bowed down and said, we'll go. God's taking you on a journey like you ain't never seen. I wasn't here, don't have to be here because it is biblical. I'm drinking from fountains that I never dug. I'm sleeping. I slept in one of you. I wallered it just real good. I slept in a bed down there I never constructed. I'm eating from vineyards that I never planted. God's been good to this place. Brother Ken sat over there in that chair and he seen that thing. He said, I seen that wing. I seen it. I seen it. I said, the Lord showed me. There it is. Look at that wing. And I said, what does it feel like now to sit here and actually see it? God's been good to you. God's been precious to you. God's been gracious to you. Anybody in here ever heard of this name? I'm going to see if you have. Now this is a little comical, but I want to tell it to you. I want to prove a point. Anybody ever heard of the man named Jack Tinker? Nobody knows Jack Tinker. Who's Jack Tinker? But you'll know the motto he came up with. Are you ready for it? The motto that he came up with was plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Back in the 70s, I was just a little boy. Nobody knows the man, but they sure know his message. Huh? You've lived with his message for years. Here's you another one. J. Walter Thompson. Nobody knows J. Walter. But I tell you, you know his slogan. Snap, crackle, pop. Rice Krispies. What's your point, Brother Carl? Their success did not magnify them. Their success only magnified their message. Your success is to magnify Him. When people come by here, they shouldn't see you. They should see Him. When they walk in this building, they shouldn't see you. They should see Him. You ought to be willing to give up your seat for somebody. But now God's give you plenty of room. You can just stretch out. You know why? It's all about Him. Christ being magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death.